Thank you, Stan. Well, can you believe it's here? The rain. That's what I was talking about. It's the rain, okay? Glad you're here. And can you believe how this year has gone? I thought, to start with, I would read something to you that many of you may have already read. If you have, you can just laugh at the bright parts, okay? But it's called A Politically Correct Christmas Story. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and Santa's a wreck. How to live in a world that's politically correct? His workers no longer would answer to elves. Vertically challenged, they were calling themselves. And labor conditions at the North Pole were ledged by the union to stifle the soul. Four reindeer had vanished without much propriety, released to the wilds by the Humane Society. An equal in employment had made it quite clear that Santa had better not just use reindeer. So Dancer and Donner and Comet and Cupid were replaced with four pigs, and you know how that looks stupid. The runners had been removed from his sleigh. The ruts were termed dangerous by the EPA. And people had started to call for the cops when they heard the sleigh noise on their rooftops. Secondhand smoke from his pipe had his workers quite frightened. His fur-trimmed red suit was called unenlightened. And to show you the strangeness of life's ebbs and flows, Rudolph was suing over the unauthorized use of his nose and had gone on Geraldo in front of the nation demanding millions in overdue compensation. So half of the reindeer were gone, and his wife, who suddenly said she'd had enough of this life, joined a self-help group, packed and left in a whiz, demanding from now on her title was Miss. And as for the gifts, why, he had never had a notion that making a choice would cause so much commotion. Nothing of leather and nothing of fur, which meant nothing for him and nothing for her. Nothing that might construe to pollute, nothing to aim and nothing to shoot. Nothing that clamored or made lots of noise. Nothing for just girls and nothing just for boys. Nothing that claimed to be gender specific, that's warlike or non-specific. No candy or sweets, they were bad for the tooth. Nothing that seemed to embellish the truth. And fairy tales, while not yet forbidden, were like Ken and Barbie, better off hidden. For they raised the hackles of those psychological who claimed the only good gift was one ecological. No baseball, no football. Someone would get hurt. Besides, playing sports would expose the kids to dirt. Dolls were said to be sexist and should be passé, and Nintendo wouldn't rot your entire brain away. So Santa stood there, disheveled and perplexed. He just could not figure out what to do next. He tried to be merry. He tried to be gay. But you got to be careful with that word today. His sack was quite empty, limp to the ground. Nothing fully acceptable was to be found. Something special was needed, a gift that he might give to all without angering the left or the right. A gift which surely satisfied with no indecision each group, every people, every religion, every ethnicity, every hue, everyone, everywhere, even you. So here's that gift, it's priced beyond worth. May your loved ones enjoy peace on the earth. Hope you like that, all right? Can you believe Christmas is here? Everybody's closed up, can't go out anymore, can't do any more shopping. And it's all about what could I do for this Christmas, because you already know the story, right? How many of you know what this season's about? See? All right, we'll just take a collection and go home, all right? We're done here, all right? And as I thought about this year, I thought about, can you imagine how 2020 has gone? We've had a pandemic that's not only affected some parts of the world, but the entire world. It has spread like crazy. We've had stay-at-home orders from governors in almost every state, including our own. Our schools have been closed. Our kids are trying to go online and learn, which is almost impossible, while parents are frenzied, trying to figure out how do we go to work, how do we watch our kids and make sure they do their homework. And now, can you believe it? High school proms and graduations were canceled. We've had millions of people laid off because their businesses were shut down. Stores running out of essentials such as toilet paper, meat, and other products. And even today, they're not stocked the way they used to be before COVID because manufacturing still has not caught up to where it needs to be. In fact, this season was an unusual year for us. We had loved ones who died, and families could not even have a funeral for them. We've had weddings postponed, and first time in American history, we've had politicians telling churches that whatever the Constitution tells us about our unalienable rights to worship God, they can supersede, override, shut down the Constitution of the United States until finally some very wise constitutional federal judges said, no, you cannot do that. We've had a lot of things going on this year. I will say this, 2020 will be a year I will never forget. It will go down in the history books for a lot of us. There's been a lot of death, a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty. So what I thought I would do tonight is take the word COVID and use it for Christmas. And I'm going to even turn it into an acrostic and use every single letter about how to have a very merry COVID Christmas. All right? I want to take something that's left a bad taste in our mouth and hopefully leaves a good one in yours tonight. So let's look at it. What does the C stand for? I mean, if you want to have a very merry Christmas, COVID Christmas, the C in COVID stands for Christ. Christmas is about Christ. It's about the baby born in Bethlehem, a baby that was wrapped in swaddling clothes. I mean, the most famous verse in the Bible you see held up at NFL games is John 3:16. Remember that? God gave. In fact, this season as we celebrate this, you've already seen this thing of lights tonight, which reminds us of what Jesus said in John chapter 10. Jesus said this, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in the darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. So when we put up our lights around our houses, it reminds us of this light of the world. When we put up our trees, it is a reminder that the tree that we erect every Christmas points us not just to Christmas, but to Good Friday. The Bible says this about Jesus in Acts 5:30. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. Now, you know the story. He wasn't hung on a tree. He was hung on a cross, but a cross is made from wood, which is made from a tree. And so in that day, God had specified that if you were crucified or impaled by anything wooden, you were accursed. And Paul talks about this in Galatians. He says this, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Which goes all the way back to our next verse in Deuteronomy, which says this, if someone has committed crime worthy of death and is executed and hung on a tree, the body must not remain hanging on the tree overnight. You must bury the body that same day, for anyone who's hung on a tree is cursed in the sight of God. So this tree that we put up every Christmas reminds us that Jesus was crucified on a tree. He bore a curse for us. This baby born in Bethlehem would one day die a curse so that we would not have to be. It reminds us of Good Friday. It reminds us of Easter. In fact, Jesus talked about light in his life. In fact, he said this of himself in the book of Revelation. He said this, I am the bright morning star. So here's the way I look at it. No matter how much the politicians and everybody wants to take Christ out of Christmas, they will never be able to do it. Christmas itself is about Christ. And I've been amazed every time I get phone calls from telemarketers. You ever get those things? And it's amazing. They call me, especially in this Christmas season, and they want to sell you something, want to get you to buy something. And when I'm finished with them, I always say, well, Merry Christmas. And they go, Happy Holiday to you. Because it's not politically correct to say Christmas because we might offend somebody. But here's what they don't know. Happy holidays. Holiday itself is short for holy days. We're really saying happy holy days to this child born in Bethlehem. I read a story recently about a Chinese immigrant who immigrated to the United States in 2007. She didn't speak one word of English. Her name is Su Zhuan. And she said as she noticed her very first Christmas, she was amazed that Christians actually had 2 days they celebrated their independence. Obviously, 4th of July and Christmas. Because she said it's strange what they do at this season. They go buy gifts and give to each other. They put up lights and they do all kinds of things. And in her mind, she thought we was celebrating our independence. It's just another patriotic day. Till finally someone expressed to her the story of Jesus and why we do this. It got her curious, so she began going to a local Chinese church in her community. And when she did, she came to realize this Jesus born in Bethlehem is who he claimed to be, and she gave her life to Christ. And on December 23rd of 2007, she was baptized. And when she came up out of the water, here's what she said. Today is really a holiday, but it's also a holy day. It's like having two Christmases. She says, I have peace in my heart and joy. I'm giving my heavy burdens to Jesus because no matter what anyone else says, he is the Christ. So I want you to remember, if you want to have a very merry COVID Christmas, remember the C stands for Christ. Let's go to the next letter in COVID. It's the O. The O stands for offers. Christmas is about offerings. It's about gifts. And we see this most famously in John 3:16, where Jesus said this, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. I mean, God loves you so much. He gave you, he offers you something that you otherwise could never get yourself. Because love just doesn't give, love gives sacrificially. I mean, who do you think gets the greater joy? The one who gives the gift or the one who receives the gifts? It's always the one who gives the gift. They get the greater joy. They watch with absolute fascination as their loved ones or their friends open up the gift. They just can't wait because they get the greater joy. Listen, I think if God could jump up and down, he did 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born, because he gave a gift to the world that we fully do not understand to this day. In fact, as Stan read from Luke's gospel, he read as this, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep, and suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel assured them, don't be afraid, he said to them. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by his sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. I mean, when I read that, and when I think about Christmas, we would not have what we have here, what these candles represent. Hope, joy, peace, love without Christ. He is the source of all of that. He's the reason we have love. He's the reason we have peace. He's the reason we have joy. He's the reason we have hope. I've had a lot of people say, well, you know, Jesus probably didn't live life the way we did. He was probably immune to a lot of the things we have. After all, he was God in the flesh. The Bible tells us he was a young carpenter. And I imagine when Jesus was hammered and he hit his thumb, what do you think happened? Do you think he said, be healed? Or when he hit his thumb with a hammer, do you think he walked around like we do? Gatting, fretting, hitting, hat. He hurt. The Bible said he needed to eat. He needed to sleep. Even when I was youth pastor, I said this to kids, and they almost freaked out. I said, and guess what? Jesus had to go to the bathroom just like we do. He was all human. You see, the reason we have this attraction to him is not that just because he's God, he is human. He offers us something we could never get on ourselves. When I look at the Christmas story, God did not offer us another prophet. He offered us a person named Jesus Christ. God did not offer us, well, another sermon. He offered us another Savior. God didn't offer us another system of legalism. He offered us love and life eternally. God did not offer us just a bunch of rules and rituals and regulations. He said, that will not do. I will offer you a relationship. And this is why the 2,000 years ago, when the shepherds go and they experience, the Bible says, as Stan read to us, they went out and they told everyone what they had experienced. Not just what they had experienced, but who they had experienced. This baby that was offered by God, who offers us life. Several years ago, Toys for Tots were given 4,000 dolls that were Jesus dolls. And they decided they would reject them Because when you push the button on it, it would say things like, love your neighbor as yourself. It would say things like, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he goes through me. So Toys for Tots called the agency that donated the 4,000 Jesus dolls and said, thank you, but no thank you. They said, what kids want are something that's fun, not about faith. And after the news got out, due to public pressure, Toys for Tots finally took all the dolls back, and they distributed it to any family that wanted a Jesus doll. I mean, I found this interesting in the news this week. Do you know that we have a new Christmas tradition that has really come to a head this Christmas? Do you know what it is? It's called regifting. Now, there are those who think that's a tawdry practice, and there are others who think it's a great way to clean out their house, okay? In fact, Webster's Dictionary defines regifting as to give an unwanted gift to someone else or to give another something one previously received as a gift. In fact, in the latest polls across America for 2020 Christmas gifts, 2 out of 3 of Americans says they plan to regift. So tomorrow or tonight, when you're opening up your gift, you need to ask your loved one, did you buy this or did you regift this? You see, Christmas, as I think about it, is about regifting. Every Christmas rolls around, and every Christmas we open the package called the story of the birth of the baby in Bethlehem. Every Christmas, God regifts us with a memory of this baby that was born, of Jesus who came gift-wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger because of God's unconditional and eternal love for us. Christmas does remind us. It does remind us that we need a gift that's more than just fun, like Toys for Tots said about the toys they had received. Okay? We need a gift that is fail safe. Just think about it. Every gift you get, every toy you have, everything you have will eventually break down, tear, wear out. It'll all go away eventually. And I know that personally when our house got hit by lightning. We lost a lot of stuff in our house. And just yesterday, they were putting in our new floors for us, okay? And I was upstairs kind of working on for tonight, finishing up, and I heard a lot of colorful metaphors coming out of the mouth of the men who were installing our new floors. So I go downstairs, and everything looked fine. I mean, the floors are done. They're ready to walk out the door. And I said, what seems to be the problem, fellows? Well, 5 years ago, our old range died on us, so we had to get a new one. And we decided to go with one that had a solid glass top across it. And when they were moving that back into place, they shattered that glass into a billion pieces. So we can't cook on top of our stove. We can use the oven, and now we can use the microwave. And I looked at this guy, and I felt sorry for him because I thought his company is going to have to pay for this. And I said, I'm so sorry for you. He said, well, it's really bad. I said, well, yeah, it is. I said, but how bad is it? He goes, well, I'm a subcontractor, so it comes out of my pocket. So he says, I've basically done your work for free, but I will replace your stove. Everything we have breaks, tears, wears out, etc. It doesn't last forever. There's only one thing, and it's the eternal life God offers us. Jesus said this in John 10, he said this, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me, I will give them eternal life and they will what? Well, what? Never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. There's your failsafe. For my Father has given them to me, he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from my Father's hand. So if you want to have a very merry COVID Christmas, remember the C stands for Christ and the O stands for the offer Christ gives you. So let's move to the V. If you want to have a very merry COVID Christmas, what does the V stand for? You can probably think of it. Vaccine. Vaccine. Already the government is dispensing vaccine across the world and across the United States. And cause COVID spreads like fire on a hot and dry Kansas wheat field. And right now there's limited supplies, so only the most needed will get it. But we live in a lifetime and a world where we are used to receiving vaccines. And as I thought about this, this vaccine that we all will eventually probably take, there is a spiritual coronavirus out there. It's called sin. We live in a world that's not just plagued by other kinds of viruses. We all have a spiritual coronavirus called sin. This is why Paul writes this in Romans 3. He says this, "For everyone has sinned, and we all fall short of God's glorious standard." All of us have a spiritual infection. It's a spiritual coronavirus called sin that puts us on a path towards death and hell apart from a vaccine from Jesus. Paul writes in Romans 7 this, "What a wretched and spiritually sick man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is infected by the virus of sin and death?" Already nearly 2 million people worldwide have died by the coronavirus. And by the end of the year, that number is just going to increase. And here's what I've discovered. It doesn't matter when it comes to this spiritual coronavirus that we have. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, young or old, intelligent or not so intelligent. It doesn't matter if you're beautiful. It doesn't matter if you're not. It doesn't matter if you're powerful or not. Eventually, this spiritual coronavirus that we've all been infected by, it all will cause our eventual death. You see, death is not a matter of if for us. It's just a matter of when. All of us in this room will one day not be here. So here's the way I look at this. Wouldn't it be wise that you choose to get God's vaccine for your spiritual coronavirus? I mean, through the years, we've vaccinated our kids and ourselves. I have a scar on my shoulder here that I live with today from receiving a smallpox vaccine. And in the early 70s, they finally said children didn't need it because it was now extinct. But I just looked up on the CDC website, what vaccinations do they say all children should have? Here's what they say. All children should be vaccinated against hepatitis A and B, tetanus, whooping cough, diphtheria, pneumococcal, the rotavirus, chickenpox, measles, mumps, meningococcal, rubella, influenza, HPV, and then the list just went on and on and on and on. In fact, for our kids to go to schools, they have to have proof they have been vaccinated against certain of these bugs. And today we have almost a vaccine for every kind of virus in the world, including now this coronavirus. About the only virus that's out there that we don't have a vaccine for is HIV. And while people are getting this vaccine from Pfizer and other companies, there is no pharmaceutical company out there that can give us a vaccine for the spiritual coronavirus we have called sin. Whether we want to admit it or not, we are all spiritually sick. And God offers you a spiritual vaccine that will cure you of this. This is why God sent Jesus. This is why we celebrate Christmas. Because all of us have been infected by this spiritual coronavirus called sin. And through the years, as I looked at it, people have tried to change human behavior, fix this problem called sin in their life. They've taken multiple behavior modification classes. They've taken classes in schools and universities about psychology and sociology, how we relate to one another, how we should treat one another, how we should be with each other, and still, years and years and years later, and billions of dollars later, no one has found a cure, a vaccine, for this spiritual coronavirus called sin. But God did. It's called His Son, Jesus. Even the Apostle Paul struggled himself with the effects of this spiritual coronavirus in his own life. He says this, "Since God's law is good, then the trouble is not there. The trouble is with me. I've been infected with a spiritual virus called sin. I really do not understand myself at all. I want to do what is right and good and moral, but I don't. And the things I hate, sinful acts, I do them. It is plain where the trouble is. Sin has infected me spiritually and has its infection in every part of my being. As a new person in Christ, I love God, but there is a spiritual virus that is infecting me. No matter how much I fight it with good intentions, willpower, the power of positive thinking, and other ways, I still find myself infected with this virus called sin. What a hopeless situation I am in. Is there any way to be healed from this virus called sin that has affected me? The answer is yes. Thank God the answer is Jesus Christ our Lord. He is God's vaccine for the virus called sin that has infected us and made us not only spiritually sick, but on the road or the way to spiritual death. This afternoon when I was coming home, traffic was backed up at this light. I mean, we were just backed up forever like planes on a runway. And I noticed there was this young couple walking. They were coming up the road, and the guy was probably 5 yards ahead of her, and she was behind him. And I could tell he must have done something she was not happy with. I mean, she was giving him the riot act. Now, my windows are rolled up, and I'm much further away, but I could hear her through my car. And she had some rather colorful metaphors she was using with him. I mean, words I would not ever say. And she, let's just say, she picked the most foul curse words to be yelling on a public street at this fella. I don't know if it was her husband or her boyfriend. And as I thought about that, I thought, how are they going to enjoy Christmas? How can you have a celebration when you're calling your husband or your boyfriend everything in the book and then making up some other words besides that? And I kind of understood. For many people this season, this is not a celebration. It's a depression. There will be families tonight, instead of celebrating, they will be not celebrating. Because this spiritual coronavirus has infected them. Instead of exerting their faith in Christ, they will be having fights in their household. There will be homes and apartments where people live in more like a war zone tonight and tomorrow rather than a worship zone. There will be homes and apartments where people, they won't be merry. They will be militant. And it's all due to this spiritual coronavirus that has infected them. And the tragedy is, it's infected us. I had many of my Christmases ruined because, you know, my story, my dad was an alcoholic and he would get drunk and he didn't care if it was Christmas Eve. And he'd get drunk and he would beat us, unmerciful in us. And most of my Christmases growing up were horrible. It was not a pleasant place. And tonight as I thought about this, I thought all across the world there will be families like this and homes like this and apartments like this. Wouldn't it be great if everyone in the world wanted this vaccine called Jesus Christ? He is the answer. He is the reason for this season. Christ offers you something. It's free. All you have to do is accept it. Jesus Christ, to me, is the vaccine for this spiritual coronavirus called sin. I don't know how many of you remember this TV sitcom called Gilligan's Island. How many of you remember that? It ran for 3 years. Now, here, remember the thing, you know, okay? And it was about 8 people who got on a little boat. They went sightseeing. They got caught up in the storm, but the storm blew them on this deserted island. They hit a rock coming in. It puts a big hole inside of the minnow, and they can't get off the island, all right? That's kind of the basis of the story. But one of the guys was a professor, okay? And the professor, here's what gets me. During those 3 years, he found a way and time to make generators out of palm fronds. In another episode, he made a lie detector machine from bamboo and the ship's horn and batteries. He made vaccines out of algae. He made a battery charger out of coconut shells and seawater. He even made a washing machine and a sewing machine. But do you know what he never got around to figuring out how to fix? The hole in the boat. Jesus has figured out how to fix the hole in your heart. And all you have to do is accept this Christ child that was given to us as a free offer. We're all infected by the spiritual coronavirus called sin. So if you want to have a very merry coronavirus Christmas, accept God's vaccine, Jesus Christ. Now let's go to the I. If you want to have a very merry COVID Christmas, the I in COVID stands for impartiality. I mean, we live in a world of prejudice and bigotry and biases and political correctness. We live in a world where what once was considered moral and right is no longer considered that. We live in a world where it's subjective. You decide what's right and wrong for you. And no longer do we have this agreed upon moral compass that helps guide us as a nation and as a culture. And as a world, as a result, our world's become very biased and prejudiced against anyone who doesn't accept this new worldview, that the new worldview is the only view. And that is, you decide what's right and wrong for you. And here's what's the surprising thing to me. As this world is being infected and has been infected by COVID, some of the most strongest and most vocal proponents of the vaccine, I've watched them on TV, I've listened to them talk. Many of these scientists and many of these virtuologists who are doctors that deal with viruses also advocate a Darwinian philosophy. Okay? They believe in evolution. But at the same time, they want all of us to get vaccinated. And as I thought about that, I thought about the hypocrisy of that. Because one of the tenets in Darwinian philosophy is the survival of the what? Fittest. Nature weeds out the weak ones so that the rest of us become stronger with our gene pool to pass on to the next generation. And so it got me thinking, why would an evolutionist, why would a Darwinianist want the world to be vaccinated? Aren't you really going against your basic beliefs of survival of the fittest? Yes. So why would they want this? Because I believe down deep in the heart of everyone is a genuine fear of death. A genuine fear of the unknown after death. A genuine fear that possibly I could be wrong about how we got here. Is there a God? Is there a life after death? It's what Paul writes in Romans 1:20. He says this: ever since God created the world, his invisible qualities, both his eternal power and his divine nature, have been clearly seen. They are perceived in the things that God has made, so that no one will have an excuse for claiming they did not know about God when they stand before God on judgment day. God says, I've written who I am on every single heart. There's an awareness of my presence, awareness of my existence. But why do some people don't see it? It's because of this spiritual coronavirus that has infected us. God offers you a gift, and he offers it to everyone. Paul says this in the book of Romans. God shows no partiality. So when it comes to having a cure, a vaccine for this spiritual coronavirus called sin, God offers the vaccine to everyone, anyone. In fact, Paul says this in Romans 10, anyone who calls upon the name of Jesus Christ will be healed from the virus called sin that leads to death. I found this interesting. At the height of his worldwide fame, rock musician Alice Cooper, guess what happened? He'd been married to his wife, for Cheryl, for 25 years. And he began to take flying lessons. And I can relate to that. I was a pilot for 30 plus years. And he noticed that his flight instructor always had this calmness, this peace, this attitude, and he just couldn't figure it out. So one day he asked him, he said, dude, why are you different than everybody else? And his instructor said, I'll tell you why. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And he said, Alice, I would love for you to have the same thing. And they began to develop this relationship through flying. And over time, Alice Cooper went home to his wife for 25 years and said this to her: this coming Sunday, we're going to my flight instructor's church. She said, we're going where? She said, where? He said, we're going to church. She said, are we wearing church clothes or are you wearing your normal stuff? He went to church, and when the sermon was over and the invitation was given, Alice Cooper walked down the aisle and gave his life to Jesus Christ. And ever since, he has developed a ministry to reach people in this heavy metal music industry and others who will listen to him share his faith. In fact, he says this: I have talked to some big stars about this, some pretty really horrific characters. And he said, you would be surprised if I named them. The ones that you think are the farthest gone are the ones that are most apt to listen to the difference Jesus has made in my life. He shares with them that his life had been infected with a virus called sin, and because of the vaccine called Jesus, he has been made well. And he offers that through his ministry, through his music to others. The Bible affirms over and over that God is impartial, even to everyone. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5, "Your Father in heaven makes his sun to shine on the bad and good and people alike, and he gives rain to those who do good and those who do evil, because God loves you unconditionally." I've said this to you numerous times. There's nothing that you or I could do to make God love you any more than he already does, and there's nothing you or I could do to make God love you any less than he already does. He loves you unconditionally. And if you want to break his heart, reject the vaccine he offers. Reject the gift that he offers, Christ. Because God doesn't want anyone to die and go to hell. Paul writes this in Romans 5. He says, God has already demonstrated how his love for us is impartial and unconditional. Even while we were infected with the spiritual coronavirus called sin, Jesus Christ still chose to die for us as our vaccine. That's the Kelly Stanley version, all right? God didn't just sit back and let us die that way. We have been infected. All of us. And the danger is, because we've all been infected, there's this tendency at times to among Christians, unfortunately, to think, my infection is not as bad as your infection. That my little sins are not as bad as your little sins. Well, here's the truth of Scripture. It only takes one sin to keep you out of heaven. So it doesn't matter whether you think yours is bad or better than somebody else or theirs is worse than yours. It doesn't matter because you and I are not the standard. God is. And ultimately, one sin keeps us out. So the best thing we could really do is stop comparing whose sin is worse and look at a God who offers us a vaccine that will set us free. So let's go to the D. What does the D stand in COVID? It stands for deliverance. God offers you a gift that will deliver you from your hurts, your bad habits, and your hang-ups. He offers you a gift that will help you heal from your fears and your failures and your frustrations. He offers you a gift that will help you with the mistakes you have made, the meaninglessness you may feel, as well as the mundane that overtakes you. I recently read about a presentation at a preschool children's church teacher had asked the kids if any of them wanted to pray. A five-year-old named Andrew said he did. Andrew wanted to pray. He said, "I want to pray the Lord's Prayer because I know that." So the teacher asked all the kids to close their eyes while Andrew recited the Lord's Prayer. And he did exceptionally well till he got near the end. When he got to the end, he sincerely prayed this, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from email." Well, Andrew, I'd like to say amen to that one. I checked every day in the world, 306 billion emails are sent. Yes, we need deliverance from email. Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer this, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Jesus said in Luke chapter 10 this, "I have come to seek those who are spiritually sick with the virus called sin and deliver them from it." You know that data shows that most people, when they feel there is something wrong, there's a symptom or sign that something's wrong with them, that most of them ignore it. And one of the symptoms and signs people most ignore than all the others is the sign of cancer. And they wait and they wait and they wait till it's almost too late. But if their loved one, their spouse, their children, friend, co-worker experiences that, they will encourage them to go get help. Friends, this spiritual coronavirus called sin, you don't need to wait. You don't need to minimize it. You don't need to ignore it because it's making you more sick. Jesus offers you this gift, this vaccine, which is himself. Paul writes in Romans 10 this, "If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God. It is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved." You know, in the story that Stan read, there's another story in Matthew's gospel. In Matthew's gospel, we get the story of the Magi who show up at the home where Jesus is. And the Bible tells us this about it. And the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, why would these three magi from Persia travel all the way over to the Holy Land to look for a Messiah who had been born? Because they believed he was God's genuine Messiah. And the proof of that is in what they offered him. One of the gifts they offered him was gold. And that day, you only offered gold to a king. They affirm that this baby that has been born is not just a king now, but one day will be a king. In fact, in the book of Revelation, it says this about Jesus. For he is Lord of lords, and he's King of kings. The Bible tells us that one day every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, meaning those who died without Christ. One day, everyone's going to kneel and say, he is Lord. This baby that was born to be a king. In fact, Paul writes this in Philippians. He says, at the name of Jesus, one day every knee is going to bow in heaven and on earth, and those who are in hell, and every voice is going to confess that Jesus is Lord and King. Matthew tells us, they entered the house, and they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. I looked it up, the word bow down. It's the Greek word pipto. It means to go from a total vertical, erect position of standing to a horizontal position where you are laid out from toe to nose on the floor. These three magi come and they prostrate themselves to a baby who they believe, who they feel, who they know is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Bible says they not only brought gold, they brought frankincense. Frankincense is a gift you offer a priest. It was used in temples of the day and had this wonderful sweet aroma, but it was extremely expensive. It was imported from Arabia. And it was a priest's way of offering up this sweet aroma to talk about how much God loved us. In the book of Hebrews, it says this, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. So they bring frankincense and say, not only is this child a king, he is a priest. The book of Hebrews says this, therefore Jesus is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. So this priest, Jesus, intercedes on our behalf before God. Not only do they bring gold and frankincense, they bring another gift, myrrh. Myrrh is a gift you use for someone who's going to die. It was used in Jesus' day to wrap a dead body. And they would use up to 75 or 80 pounds of this ointment, this salve and wrapping. And here's what's interesting. The way you wrapped a dead body back then like a mummy is exactly the way you wrapped a newborn baby. The way Jesus came into the world is the exact same way he left the world. Wrapped in swaddling clothes, but this time wrapped in myrrh. The Bible tells us that when he died, a very rich man named Joseph of Arimathea came and asked for permission to bury Jesus. Look at it. Afterward, Joseph of Arimathea, who had been a secret disciple of Jesus because he feared the Jewish leaders, asked Pilate for permission to take down Jesus' body. When Pilate gave permission, Joseph came and took the body away. With him came Nicodemus, the man who had come to Jesus at night. He brought about 75 pounds of perfume ointment made from myrrh and aloes. Following Jewish burial customs, they wrapped Jesus' body with the spices and long sheets of linen cloth. Our Jesus is able to deliver you from this spiritual virus, this spiritual coronavirus that has infected all of us. He is a king. He is a priest. He died so that you and I would not have to die spiritually. One of my favorite actors growing up was a guy named Steve McQueen. I loved his movies. Movies like Bullet, The Great Escape, and Papillon. But Steve McQueen grew up in a very abusive home. He had two different stepfathers at two different times who would beat him. They would lock him in cupboards. They would taunt him. They made fun of him. And eventually, as a teenager, he finally ran away from home. He was able to eventually find his way into Hollywood and began to make some of the most top-rated movies of that time. But he became very successful, not just in movies, but with other vices to help him cope with the tragedy, the demons from his past, who haunted him not just during the day, but haunted him even while he slept. They came back in the form of dreams. He would go from relationship to relationship, wife to wife to wife. In his early years, he had no time for religion, he said. He was a man on the top of Hollywood, but yet hiding it through alcohol and drug abuse. He said that there was this time he was trying to struggle with something in life, and he went to a good friend of his that he noticed, like Alice Cooper, was totally different. This guy handled life totally differently than he did. And the guy said, the reason is my faith in Jesus Christ. And he began to witness to Steve McQueen, and Steve McQueen gave him Jesus Christ, his life. Soon after that, he contracted cancer. And he needed reassurance of his faith. So he asked Billy Graham to come and pray with him. Billy Graham came, prayed with Steve McQueen, and actually gave him a Bible. And from that point on, Steve McQueen made it his life's goal, for whatever time he had left, to talk about Jesus with people in Hollywood. That he had been infected with this spiritual coronavirus called sin, but that Jesus offered a cure. Jesus is the vaccine. One day a nurse walked in to check on him, and he had died during his sleep of a massive heart attack. But on his chest laid the Bible Billy Graham had given him, and it was opened to John 3:16. Even in his death, he wanted to tell everyone about his faith in Jesus. Steve McQueen knew that there is nothing on this planet that can help us, heal us, than the vaccine called Christ. I mean, if you want to have a very merry COVID Christmas, make it about Christ. If you want to have a very merry COVID Christmas, accept the offer that God gives to you this season. If you want to have a very merry COVID Christmas, receive the vaccine that God offers to you freely. He offers it to you impartially. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, young or old, educated or uneducated. It's for everyone. If you want to have a very merry Christmas, allow God to deliver you this season. Because apart from Christ, apart from this vaccine, you will not go to heaven. There's nothing you can do on your own to get into heaven. God's already taken care of that. So while our government is pushing us, and while our medical people are pushing us to get this vaccine for corona, why not this Christmas you take a spiritual vaccine called Jesus Christ and watch how he heals you and takes your life and turns it into something you never could imagine. The angel said in Luke 2:10, I bring you good news that will be great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem in the city of David. Now, because we are living in an age of corona, we normally at this time have people standing down here with candles, and we normally have candles for you to pick up, for you to come and get them lit and walk around, and we form this big circle around here. We're not going to do that tonight. For your safety,